We're going to Luke. We're going to look at two different scriptures today. The first one is in Luke 17, and we're going to read verses 11 through 19. This is a wonderful story. This is the story of the 10 lepers who were cleansed. And there's several things that we can see in this story that are really neat. Now, it happened as Jesus went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. Now, the reason that they stood afar off is that they were required to stand afar off. They were not allowed to be in contact with people. They couldn't touch people. They couldn't be in the vicinity of people. They were unclean. So they had to remain far off from everybody else. And if they didn't, then they could be in trouble. And they lifted up their voice and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Now, one of the things that happens, and here we're going to see that Jesus required a step of faith with these 10 lepers. In the Old Testament, when you read that, when it talks about a person who is a leper or who has certain kinds of sores on his body, if he is cured of that, he has to go to the priest, and the priest will examine his skin and will determine whether or not to declare him clean or not. If he's declared to be clean, then he can go out among society again. If he's still unclean, he has to separate himself from society. So Jesus commanded them to go present themselves to the priest. Now, when he told them to do that, they were still leprous at the time. So what he was doing, he was requiring them to take a step of faith. See, God always tells us to take a step of faith. I've heard people say, "Well, you know, if God would do this, I would do this." Well, can I tell you that God has already made the first move? He sent Jesus. Jesus did all that he did for us. And the Holy Spirit reaches out to us, and it's our move. And any time that God does anything significant in our lives, he requires us to take a step of faith. Now, that's not works. It's faith. It's not something that you earn. You're not earning anything. God wants you to trust him, so he requires us to take a step of faith. So he told these 10 lepers, he says, "Now, go present yourself to the priest." So he goes, and they start towards the priest. Now, only a clean person would present themselves to the priest, okay? Only a clean person would do that. At this point, they're still physically unclean. So here's what we're seeing in this story. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. You know, a lot of times that when God tells us to take a step of faith, as we go, he meets our need. Okay? That's just a good faith lesson right there. "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks, and he was a Samaritan." This is good. This is good stuff right here. There were 10 that were cleansed, right? Only one of them turns around and comes back to God and worships. I can sense a bit of disappointment in Jesus by his next statement. He says, he said to the guy, "Weren't there 10? And you're the only one that's come back to say thank you?" How many of them were cleansed? 10. How many of them were thankful enough to come back and give glory to God? 1. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about worship. We're talking about learning to live a lifestyle of worship. And it's sad because this is probably pretty prevalent even among the body of Christ today, that God has done miracles in our life, that God has done great things in us and for us, and how many times we don't show gratitude to God. Sad. It's sad. Probably the majority does not return and give thanks to God. You know, this series has really stretched my heart. And I'm so glad that it did, because it's very easy. And I'm talking mainly to you who have been a Christian for maybe more than 5 or 10 years. It's very easy for us who have been Christians for a long time to crystallize in our hearts, just to take things for granted. Things that used to excite us, we're kind of indifferent about. You know, I've seen new people come into this church. I've seen new people come into this church that has never heard anything. Things that you have taken for granted for so long. And to them, it's revolutionary. To you, it's old hat. I can remember a time that I anticipated with excitement to be able to hear God's word, to be able to be in a place where God's name was lifted up and people were praising God, to be in that atmosphere, and my heart to be excited about that. Then I've seen a time, see, you can even be a preacher and this can happen to you, that it just kind to become old hat to you. You kind of fall in the routine. Yes, praise God. Yes, hallelujah. Going through the motions, but your heart is far from God. And here are 10 people that had a miracle in their lives. Should have been on cloud 9. They were doing the religious thing. They were going to see the priest to present themselves because they wanted to be declared clean so they could go back to their families. But only one of them had the foresight. Only one of them had the turned around and said, I know I've got to go to the priest, but listen, I've got to go give thanks. I've got to show appreciation. And I've determined in my own mind and heart that I am going to live a lifestyle of thanksgiving. See, the Bible tells us, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I come early on Sunday mornings. I'm usually here by 6:15. This morning I was here and I get turn the lights on, pray over the building, turn on kids check, get the coffee going. And I walked past the door and I looked out. And the sun was rising. And the clouds were in front of the sun as it was rising. And it was painting the most beautiful picture that you can imagine. You can't catch that with a camera. Only human eyes, you know, these are the best cameras there are. I've seen some gorgeous pictures. But they just don't measure up to being there and seeing that and enjoying that moment. And I stood there for just a few minutes just to enjoy that. The clouds, the sun was coming up behind these clouds, and the reflections and the different, I don't know how you describe it, the different color schemes and highlights that were taking place in those clouds. And I just said, God, I don't want to miss this moment. I'm going to stand here and just thank you for that. See, here's what happens to us. And it's very easy for this to happen in our lives. You're driving to work. You're thinking about the day. Maybe your job is stressful. Maybe there's a lot of pressure. And you get to thinking about all you got to do today. And you can become angry, you can become stressed, you can become frustrated as you're driving along, and it'll mess up your whole day. Or you know what you can do? You can choose to do. Say, okay, God, I'm pushing this stress away from me. I know I'm facing a lot today, but Lord, I just want to give you thanks for this day. I have the opportunity to live another day. Lord, thank you for the beautiful clouds. Lord, thank you for my job. Lord, thank you for learning to come back to the one who has worked in your life and learning to live a life of gratitude. Your gratitude, listen, it'll change the way that you view life. It'll change the way that you act. It'll change the way that you do life. Have you ever been around a griper? They'd gripe if you hung them with a new rope. They gripe about everything. Complain, complain, complain. And you just want to say, shut up. Maybe you're that person. That's why sometimes people want to say to you, just shut up. I know you're not supposed to say that in front of kids, but kids are supposed to be over there. Okay. So, you know, you just want to say, hush. And their view of life is negative. But if you'll learn to be a worshiper, not just at church, but in everyday life, if you'll learn to start your day, turn off sports on your way to work. I don't say you can't listen to that. I listen to it all the time. But sometimes I just like to shut the radio down and just talk to God as I'm driving. I thought, oh God, thank you. It's changed my perspective on something. It's given me a renewed energy in my soul. I don't want to be an old fossil. I don't want my heart to be hard. I don't want to go out. You know, I'm 63. I know I look 35, but I'm 63. I'm getting close, you know, to old age. I'm not old yet. I'm getting there, but I want to finish strong. Amen. I don't want to finish just gliding out. I want to go out on top. I want to go out on top. I want to go out growing. I want to go out praising. I want to go out going forward, not standing still. 60 is the new 40. Yes, I'm all for that. Verse 17, so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? And where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, weren't all 10 of them cleansed? And this Samaritan comes back, this foreigner, this despised person. See, he didn't allow the fact that he was despised. He didn't allow the fact that he was considered not in the class as everybody else. How many times do we allow that to hold us back? Well, I messed up my life and I've done this, and I've been married this many times, and I've been on drugs and alcohol, or I've got this habit, or I've done this, and I've done that in my past, and this and that, and this and that. He didn't let any of that get in his way. He was a half-breed Jew Gentile. And he's the only one that came to Jesus to give glory to God. You can't allow your past to dictate your future. You've got to go. See, none of us, all of us, can I just say it? All of us are goofed up. All of us have messed up. And if you think you're something, you're really not. Well, I've never been drunk. Well, bless your heart. You've got an attitude like a heathen. What's up with that? You know, some of the little things are the things that really mess stuff up more as much as the big things. Fear, unbelief, critical spirit, unbelief. That'll mess you up just like drugs will. See, we're all messed up in some area of our lives. But you know what? When God does a work in our life, we need to go to Him. We don't need to allow our past to dictate anything about our future, because God has a purpose and God has a future for all of us, and we need to run to Him, and we need to give thanks in everything in our lives. We do. But see, when He did this, Jesus said to him, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well." Now, he was already cleansed when Jesus said that to him. You know what Jesus was saying to you? You're whole now. There's something that's not only happened in your body, there's something that's happened in your heart that'll change you forever. See, I know a lot of people who've had an experience with God and it's died right there. I'll say to all of you that went to the tank today, that's not an end. I had somebody share a testimony with me this morning that broke my heart. Somebody that had been baptized in our tank. The next day after they were baptized, were back on the job dropping the F-bomb. And this guy said, "Hey, I saw you get baptized today. What's up with that?" "Oh, I took care of that yesterday. I'm good now." That's not an end. That's a beginning.
Amen. Praise God.
He wasn't made whole. See, God wants our lives. When we give our lives to Him, just like this guy came back, he'd had an experience with Jesus. He had been healed. But listen, he was made well when he came back to give glory to God. We're going to look at a verse. This will be our last verse of the day. Oh. Mark 12:30. We begin the series with this. And we're not going to end with it because I've got next week. But it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength." What are we supposed to love Him with? All of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's all of you. That's your whole man. Not just your lips. Not just verbiage, your whole person. And this is kind of what we've been talking about this whole series. And this, we need to learn to express my affection to God. Express affection to God. And we have to ask ourselves the question, what do I love most? Now, we love many things. We love our wives. We love our children. We love our cat or our dog. We love our Razorbacks. Don't we? Some of you like LSU, but you're just misguided. Ooh, I love it. There's many things that we love in life. There's nothing wrong with that until we exalt it above our love for God. Then it becomes an idol. You know, one of the things He says, "You shall have no other gods before Me." I don't know that He was just thinking about Buddha and the golden calf and Hare Krishna. He might have been talking about your pickup truck, your children, your spouse, your job, your hobbies, your Razorbacks. If you love them more than you love God, then guess what? That's an idol in your life. So we need to express our affection to God. That's loving God with our heart, putting Him first place in our life, and He gets the highest praise. And I've said before, if you can lift your hands in the stadium and holler "Woo Pig Suey," and you can't lift it in the church and say "Praise you, Jesus," something may be wrong with that. But we're going to move right along from that one because that might get somebody under conviction. What do I love most? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. The second one is with all your mind. That's your thinking processes. That means I focus my attention on God. I have to ask myself, what do I think about most? I have to make a confession because I'm in the process of changing some things in my life. But I want my first thoughts when I wake up in the morning to be on Him. I want to talk to Him first. But you know, sometimes you have a crazy dream or something, and you wake up, and maybe you wake up a little late, and you jump up out of the bed, and you go read your Bible real quick. I mean, you go through your routine real quick, and you're driving down the road, and you're thinking about this, and all of a sudden it just dawns on you, I hadn't even talked to the Lord today. I hadn't even said, "Good morning, Lord." See, He's not a Bible. He's a person. You don't have a relationship with just a Bible. You have a relationship with a person. The person of God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the person of the Holy Spirit. And I've gone half a day, and it dawned on me, I hadn't even said hello to God today. And I'm thinking, what is up with that? How can I say that He's the most important thing in my life, and I don't even think about Him. So what do I think about most? Now, I didn't come here to beat you up today. I'm just trying to get you to reflect on some stuff. Sometimes we just need to tweak a few things and make some changes. And I'm in the process of learning to become thankful. When I'm driving down the road and I look up and I see some beautiful clouds, I'm going to say, thank you, God, for those clouds. When I see a beautiful flower, I'm going to say, thank you, God, for this flower. When I have a moment that something stands out to me, I want to talk to God about it. I don't want Him just to be a part of my life. I want Him to be my life. That's what He wants to be. Another part of our mind and heart is our emotions. Sometimes we need to feed our emotions with spiritual things. I tell you what I like to do. I have Pandora on my phone, and sometimes in the mornings after I read my Bible, I like to turn the light back off and turn a worship thing on. I say I have things besides worship things. I have Tom T. Hall and Mamas and the Papas and some of the music that I like to listen to. But sometimes when I want to just feed my emotional man, I'll turn on something that's worshipful. Amen. And I'll try not to think about anything. Just allow that music and fellowship with God to just roll over in my soul. And it's amazing when that happens that we begin to become more creative in our lives. It enhances that part of our life. See, God doesn't need your worship. There is not anything that you can give God that He lacks. You cannot add any value to God whatsoever. God does not have an ego that needs to be stroked so that He can feel better about Himself. We have that. Okay? The reason that God says, put me first, because it benefits us. See, our whole life goes better when we put God where He's supposed to be in our lives, because He can begin to work in our lives in a greater way because we'll listen to Him. We learn to listen. If we don't learn to listen, guess what? We're going to miss out on so much. So sometimes we need to feed our emotional man spiritual things. You know, you may do that through godly poetry or worship music or just quiet meditation in a beautiful setting like a deer stand or, with a fishing pole in your hand. Glory be to Jesus. I get a witness. Sometimes it works. Now, I don't think that works in the shopping mall, though. No, that's not fair, is it? But in a quiet, contemplative place where you can feed your soul, worship God with your emotions. That's part of us. That's part that God gave us. And when we do that, He begins to work in our hearts. Then the last thing is with all of our strength. And that is using my abilities for God. What do I do most? And can I just say that I can, since I got the microphone. You say, yeah, you're a preacher and you do all this stuff for God. Well, let me just say this. You work at McDonald's. You can do that for God. Amen. You're a police officer. You can be that for God. Amen. So you can do it without God, or you can do it for God. Amen. Whatever you do, you can do it on your own in your strength, or you can do it for Him and His strength, and you're using your abilities for God. It'll change the way that you do your job. It'll change the way that you go about your life. And that's loving God with all your strength. It'll change your attitude. It'll change your altitude. It'll probably even change your position. Can I just tell you, bosses don't like naggers and complainers and negative people. One negative person in a work site can do more damage, but one positive person in a work site can change a work site. Okay. So we love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's how you love God. That's how you put Him first place. I'm not sure we need more preachers. We just need more people doing what they do for God. Amen. Well, let's stand. It's time for us to once again worship. We're going to give you a chance to open your hearts to God and respond to God, which is worship. Respond with your hearts, your minds, your souls, and your bodies, your strength. Lord, right now, we open our lives, we open our hearts. Lord, You're worthy of all honor and glory and praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we just give ourselves to You right now. Lord, by Your Holy Spirit, You've spoken to several people here today to make adjustments in their lives. And as they stand there and worship You, they can do that. They can make the decision to honor You with their lives, heart, soul, mind, and strength. We love You today, Jesus. We love You above all. We worship You. Come on, let's lift our voices together and worship.